Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
This morning, we're going to continue our series called Maid of Honor, and this is really the conclusion to the series. This sermon, this message was actually supposed to be last week, and we kind of jumbled things around a little bit. And so some of the stuff is going to be like, oh man, you should have said that last week. You'll realize it here in a minute. But it's okay. It's all good. We can still do it today. But today's message, I'm going to call Scout's Honor. So each week I've had a different name, a different title for the message. And this week's message is called Scout's Honor. How many of you were ever in Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts? Anybody? Any Boy Scouts? Okay. All right. Any Eagle Scouts? Eagle Scouts? No. One lady was like, no, not me. What is the female version of the Eagle Scout? The Eaglets? Any Eaglet Scouts? Nope, none of those. Didn't think so. I wasn't in Boy Scouts. I was in another Christian organization that was all about camping and outdoor life. And one of the things that you learn whenever you're in these camping groups, right, is you learn a particular set of skills, right? I sound like Taken now. I've got a particular set of skills. I will find you. I will kill you. So you learn these particular set of skills that are supposed to help you whenever you're in the great unknown, right? Whenever you're out in the wild, these skills are supposed to help you. And so last week, we were talking, some of the guys outside, we were talking about, you know, how to start a fire with flint and steel. And I can do it, right? So you get a rock of flint, you get some steel, you make a little bird's nest, you can click that thing, spark it up, blow into it. Fire. Y'all aren't impressed. I was going to bring it today and do it on stage and start the fire. And then I thought, you know, then fire gets hot and I have to drop it. And if I dropped it right on Christina, then her hair would just be like a candle. Candle in the wind. And so you learn these skills that are important for life. And today I'm going to talk to you about some skills that are important for us to have honor. But first, this is a book that I've got. Somebody gave it to me. One of my good friends gave it to me. It's called the Worst Case Scenario Survival Handbook. Right? Have you ever read this book? This is very interesting stuff. So let me just tell you a couple of things. How to perform a fast 180 degree turn with your car. Who would want to know that? Like, that's an important skill to know. How about how to break into a car? Yes, criminals. How to hotwire a car. What kind of book is this? I feel like this is not what I thought it was. How to fend off a shark. Everybody needs to know that. I'm about to go on vacation. I'm going to be reading that the whole time. Right? I can fight a shark. Punch them in the eyes. Stick your hand in their gills. Wiggle it around. Something bad's going to happen. What about how to wrestle free from an alligator? That's really something I deal with. How to win a sword fight. How to avoid getting shot in a gunfight. Hey, that's super important. Matter of fact, I looked at that one. I've read all of these, but I looked at that one right before I came up. And apparently, if people are shooting at you, run in a zigzag pattern. No joke, man. Make yourself hard to hit. Here's one of my favorite ones. How to deliver a baby in a taxi cab. Y'all are saying, oh, but that's important. Some lady starts having a baby in a taxi cab. You better know how to dial 911. Right? Here's the thing about delivering a baby in a taxi cab. If you have to be in a position where you have to deliver a baby in a taxi cab, first of all, you don't need a medical book. You need like 5 steps, right? Just give me 5 things that I can do. 5 skills that I need to have to be able to deliver this baby. I don't need to know about the miracle of birth. I don't need to know about how wonderful it is. I don't need to know about how a woman feels whenever she's giving birth to her child for the first time. I don't care about any of that. All I want to know is how to get the baby out without the mama dying and get to the hospital. Right? Like, I need the very practical knowledge, the very practical skills to accomplish this task. When I was younger, I would go to church sometimes, And I would hear people, and my dad and mom, they were pastors and missionaries, and they would drag me all over the place listening to different people preach, and I would hear these great spiritual sermons. And you could understand the emotion and all of these spiritual high and mighty thoughts out of the Word of God, and it was wonderful and it made me feel good. But sometimes I would go home and I would not understand how to make that work in real life. See, whenever we had our first kid, I can't really even explain to you the emotions that I felt. Seeing that baby for the first time, I was just overwhelmed with emotion. And sometimes whenever it comes to the Word of God, whenever we preach, we give people big spiritual things, and that's necessary. You need that experience. But if you also don't carry with you the practical skills to walk it out, then what good is it? James said it like this. James said, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. In other words, you can be as spiritual as you want to be, but if you don't have a practical insight to that spirituality, all that spirituality is dead. It doesn't help you. So for the past few weeks, we've given you some spiritual insight into how to be honorable. We talked about being a vessel of honor. And what does it mean on the spiritual side? What does honor mean? But today, I want to give you the practical skills for you to develop a culture of honor in your home, in this church, at your job, at your school. We want to develop a culture of honor, right? Now, I will say this. Whatever, I tell people this all the time, whatever I preach on Sunday, Monday is what I'm tempted with, right? And I noticed that Friday night. So I'm preaching on honor, and then Friday night, I straight dishonored this dude. That wasn't bad. I didn't cuss or nothing. I mean, I leave that up to the other guys. But I just, you know, I felt like on the inside, so this guy comes up to me, he's talking to me, and I was like, hey, man, you're okay. Like, back up, you're okay, I got it under control, you just back on up. Now, that doesn't sound super bad, and some of you guys would have handled it a lot different than I would have. But for me, that was very dishonorable. Why? Because I knew the intent of my heart. And I just didn't want this guy in my face, right? And so here's the thing. Whatever we preach about on Sunday is what we'll be tempted with on Monday, so just be ready. Tomorrow, you're going to have the opportunity to either honor or dishonor somebody. And so I want you to remember these practical skills that we're about to teach so that tomorrow you can go in knowing, hey, I know I'm going to have to deliver a baby in a taxi cab tomorrow, right? So I better be ready because it's coming. Literally, like the baby. All right, so let me give you four skills that you need to develop this morning so that you can have a culture of honor. The first skill is this. The first skill is praise, because all honor has to have praise along with it, right? So praise, and listen to what I'm talking about on praise. Praise has to do with our words, because we can either honor or dishonor people with our words. That's the first skill you need to master this morning. James says it like this in James chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. It says, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, this should not be so. James is saying it like this. He said, listen, you guys are using your mouth and your words to not only sing, you come in on Sunday and you sing praises to God, but you go out on Monday and you start running down your boss. You start running down your co-workers. You come in and preach on Sunday morning, Pastor, and you say great things to the crowd, but then you go home and you run down your kids or your wife with the same mouth. It's important that we first learn that praise is a part of honor. Honor has to have praise along with it. It's funny that we're talking about this because my wife was just telling me the other day, and I don't know how you are with your kids, but raising a kid isn't easy, right? Like, some of you guys have done a really good job. I'm super proud of you, of how you raised your kids. and I wish you would come teach me how to do it, right? Because I'm just kind of flying by the seat of my pants sometimes. And raising a kid is hard. And I don't know how you've done, if you've had multiple kids, but a lot of times for me, I feel like I'm harder on the oldest child than I am on the middle one or the young one. Does anybody else notice that in parenting? Oh, good. Thank God. Whew. Now, some of y'all raise your hand. You ain't got kids yet. You might need to go talk to your mama. Here's the thing. Sometimes we're hard, and for me, that's how I am. I'm harder on Gabriel than I am on the other two. There are things that I will not let him get away with that with the youngest one, he does it, and I think it's so funny. But with the old one, he does it, and I'm getting on to him. And something my wife and I were talking about, we're about to go spend 10 hours in a car together. Pray for us. We need a miracle, right? We need one of those things that happened in the Bible with Philip where we just get translated somewhere else. Like, I need to get in the car and pray, and then all of a sudden I'm in Florida. And one of the things she said was, she said, we've got to make sure that we are speaking good words, even in discipline, that we are speaking kind words in our family, and especially before we get trapped in a car with each other. And let's begin to establish that. It's important that we do that, guys. It's important that we speak the right words. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 and 30. It says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Let me just pause right there. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Here's how this works. Sometimes you're at work, and your boss is kind of a jerk, right? And then your coworker comes up, and your coworker starts talking to you about your jerk boss, right? Have you ever had that happen to you before? And what do? You immediately dive right in and start talking with your coworker about the corrupt, about the jerk, whatever. Well, the next thing that happens is you find another coworker that hadn't said anything about the boss. And the first thing you do is you start saying, hey man, have you heard about the boss? You heard what he's doing? And you start talking this corrupt talk to this coworker. And now we've begun this chain of dishonor all around the boss. I heard of a pastor one time that was on a trip. And he took his associate pastor with him. And so they went on a trip. And while they were on this trip, they were in a meeting full of pastors. And this pastor had a buddy that was another lead pastor. And they would always get together, like secretly, and they would say, hey, I want you to test my guys that are with me. And I'll test your guys that are with you. And let's just see what they're saying behind our backs. So the one pastor went to the associate pastor and just kind of got the ball rolling a little bit. Just a nudge. And that associate pastor took the bait. And he just dove right in. And he badmouthed his pastor. Little did he know that that senior pastor went right around to the other senior pastor and said, all right, get out your notebook. Here we go. You know, and just begin to tell him all this stuff. It was a long plane ride home, right? Right? It was a bad day for that guy. Here's what happens. Whenever you begin to dishonor with your words, it's always going to come back. And it's always easy to let that corrupt talk come out of your mouth. It's always easy. So we got to be careful. So look at what Paul says. He says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And look at this. This, I love verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. You know, people talk about don't grieve the Holy Spirit, and we think it has something to do with things going on in church. But Paul says grieving the Holy Spirit has to do with the way you're talking about and to other people. You grieve the Holy Spirit when you choose to use your words in a corrupt manner to tear people down, as opposed to in the manner He would have you do it, and that is to build people up. So how do we honor people? We praise them. We praise them. Yeah, your boss may be a jerk, but can you find one good thing about your boss? Can you find one good thing about your husband or your wife? Can you find, I hope you can, find a lot of good things about your husband and your wife. Can you find one good thing about your neighbor? One good thing about your pastor? One good thing about the guy sitting next to you? Use that as a point of reference and begin to build and build and praise people. It's so important. We've been out to dinner before, And I've got friends that have gone out to dinner. I had a friend of mine, he said he went out to dinner with this guy, and he said the whole time, he said it was the most awkward dinner he's ever been to, because the whole time, one spouse was talking bad about the other spouse right there to each other's faces. He said the whole time it was an argument about how this one doesn't do that, and that one doesn't do this, and he said they argued the whole time. He said, I don't even think they realized we were there. It's important, even as spouses, that we're constantly building each other up. Praise one another. Praise one another. The second skill that you need to learn this morning, and I need to learn, is the skill of celebration. Honor is celebrating, right? Honor is celebrating. And here's the thing. Make a note of this. Whatever is celebrated will be duplicated. Whatever is celebrated will be duplicated. That's important to learn. Whenever we had a dog one time when we first got married. His name was Titus. He was a boxer. He was beautiful. We ended up giving him away. But we had Titus for a little while. And when Titus would use a bathroom in the house, my first reaction was, you know, you get the newspaper, you pop him on the nose. No, you know. Somebody would say, stick his face in it, show him what's up. And then after a while, I was like, this ain't working. Like, this is just, it's kind of mean. And then I read where someone said, no, as soon as you see him start to go, run him outside, let him use the bathroom, and then celebrate him. Just give him treats and just love on him and tell him he's the greatest dog in the whole world. And so we did. We'd see him get that look in his eye. You know, he's starting to, you know, oh, no. You grab him, you run him outside, you put him in the grass, let him do his thing. And then it was like, yes, Titus, you did it. You ruined the yard, you know, like whatever it is. And here's some treats, buddy, we love you. You're the greatest dog ever. And you know what he did? He learned that if I go outside and use the bathroom, I'm going to be celebrated, so I will continue to do that same thing. And we forget this idea of celebration sometimes, especially in the church. Especially in the church. We forget that it's important to celebrate. And look, we need to celebrate all kinds of stuff. Like, it's important for us not to just celebrate on certain times of the year, but we need to just throw random parties and just celebrate whenever someone gets saved. Celebrate whenever new people come to the church. Celebrate whenever somebody gets, you know, their car for the first time. I don't know what we got to celebrate. We need to celebrate things. And you need to celebrate things at your house. Celebrate with your children. Celebrate with your coworkers. Throw a random party. Bring donuts to work. And they're going to say, why'd you bring donuts to work? Because our boss gave us money last week, you know, and it's like, well, he does that every week. I know, but last week he did it really well, you know, and you just, here's some donuts, everybody. It's important to learn to celebrate. We've got to celebrate. We need to have fun. The Bible says this. I'm not going to read these scriptures to you, but if you ever want to look it up in Exodus chapter 12 and then in Luke chapter 15, in Exodus chapter 12, whenever they had the first Passover, and it's that one time of the year whenever the Israelites were trying to come out of Egypt, and God says, hey, if you'll kill a lamb, take the blood, wipe it over your doorpost, then the angel of death is coming to Egypt. He's going to come wreak some havoc. But if you've got that blood over your doorpost, you will be protected. And we know that that was a foreshadowing of Jesus dying on the cross and His blood being spread over our lives, that death could not conquer us, right? And sin would have no hold over us, right? And so God says in Exodus chapter 12, and I want you to celebrate this moment every year with a feast. And God begins to establish these feasts for the Jews. And that word feast there means celebration and gathering. In other words, what God says is, I want you to have a feast and I want it to be a big party. It just needs to be a big party. And I want you to invite everybody you can get. I want you to get the whole house in there. Get the whole family in there. Oh, someone's on vacation. Bring them back from vacation. Let's just have a big party. God loves celebrating. And He celebrates you. And He celebrates me. And here's the thing. Whenever we celebrate, we remember stuff and then we duplicate those things. In Luke chapter 15, the Bible talks about all the lost stuff, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. And every time they lose something and they find it, they celebrate. And Jesus even goes on to say that whenever somebody comes to Christ, when somebody begins that relationship with Jesus Christ, that's so important, when somebody does that, that heaven celebrates and has a massive party. So why is it that sometimes we get so boring? And we don't ever celebrate. We got to learn to celebrate. Find a reason to celebrate. Celebrate your kids. Celebrate your bosses. Celebrate your coworkers. Just celebrate. And, you know, there's a way to even celebrate and a way to praise. I know those two things kind of go together, but there's a way to even celebrate. You can just do something as simple as sending somebody a note. Hey, man, you did a great job today. Give them a gift card. Just something small just to say, you're wonderful, and I'm celebrating you today. And today is, you know, Tim Carter Day. You did a great job today. Didn't you do a great job today? Let's celebrate with Tim right now. Y'all just stand up. Let's just stand up and celebrate. Stand up and celebrate with Tim. Give somebody a high five. Just give somebody, say, hey, this is a party for Tim because he did a great job today. All right, now sit down. Sometimes it just feels good to be celebrated. Listen, you need to go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated, right? We want to be celebrated. It's like I tell my wife every year, I don't want a birthday party. And every year she believes me. I'm just kidding. I don't want a birthday party. The third skill you need to learn is protection. Honor must be protected. Honor must be protected. There's a part of me, honestly, I know I've already confessed all my sins to you this morning. There's a part of me that was really operating in this is because whenever that guy came up and began to talk about my player, I'll just say his name, Zach. And whenever that guy came up and was talking about Zach right in front of Zach, I just thought, that's super rude, man. Like, Zach may have made a mistake. I don't know. I didn't see it. You might have deserved it. Who knows? But the fact is, you can't be talking like that in front of my dude. Like, get back, right? What happened? There was something in me that rose up that wanted to protect the honor here. And even if you make a mistake, the Bible says that God still honors you by what? Dying on the cross for your sins. Even while we were still sinners. He didn't throw us out. He says, I love you. I died for you. You got to come back to me. I can honor you with that, right? And so here's the thing. Honor is something that must be protected. And the more you value honor, the more value you'll get from it. I want you to look at a couple of things that I think are really cool. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1 says this. A good name or honor is to be chosen rather than great riches. And favor is better than silver or gold. It is important that you have a good name. And it is important that the people around you have a good name. It is important that this church has a good name. Why? Because that has to do with honor. And I honor my church by not acting like a fool outside wearing a Gateway t-shirt. Right? If you're going to act like a fool, tell them you go to First Baptist. Don't tell them you go here. I'm just kidding. I'm teasing. Not really. I mean, if you are going to act like a fool, don't tell them you come here. No, we honor places, right? And we honor people. And we've got to protect that honor. I can't let somebody come out and talk about my wife. Why? Because I honor her and I value her. And we said in the very beginning that whenever you honor something, you place weight and value on that thing. So if you come up and want to talk bad about my wife, I cannot talk with you about her. I must protect her. So now I'm going to turn it back on you. Right? And it's no disrespect. It just is what it is. It's my job to honor and to protect the honor. And it's your job to protect the honor. So we got to make sure that we're doing that. Look at John chapter 7, verse 18. It says, the one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is, if you're just out for your own honor and your own favor, then it's all about you and you're pretty prideful. But if you're out to do the will of God, then you're gonna walk in integrity and honor. Why? Because I know that I'm representing somebody else. And if I represent someone else, then I need to act like I represent that person. So whenever I go places, if I go, like, for example, our basketball team, our softball team, or whenever we go out and if I go preach somewhere, I carry you with me. Because I take the name of Gateway Family Church with me, and that name represents each and every one of you. And so if I act stupid outside, then I make all of us seem like we're stupid. So I have to protect the honor. I have to make sure that I'm walking a life that I'm supposed to be walking. Every time I walk out those doors, I represent Jesus Christ. When I get up here and preach, people ask me if I get nervous to preach. I really don't get nervous to speak in front of people. That's not a problem for me. The problem is what I say is what makes me nervous, because I know as soon as I open up my mouth, I represent the Holy Spirit, and I don't want to dishonor Him. I want to protect His honor. Does that make sense? So honor must be protected. The fourth and final skill that we must learn today is that honor must be prioritized. You must have priorities in order for you to honor people, because whatever is first is honored. Think about it for a second. Whatever is first is honored. If you look at the ingredients on any kind of food, the first thing that you see on that list is whatever is the most in that thing. So if you look on there and the first thing is sugar, you better know this thing is chock full of sugar, right? And so you got to understand that. So this is the thing. The first carries the weight of honor. Whatever you put first in your life is really what you honor. Now that part kind of hurts my feelings a little bit, because I think about, what do I put first in the morning when I wake up? What's first in my life? Is there anything first before God? Because if there is, that might be what I'm honoring. I'm saying I honor God, but do I really? When it comes to my spouse, when it comes to my kids, what kind of priority am I placing on them to be able to make sure that they are first? Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. We're going to look at this in the ESV version first. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Now, I want you to look at it in the Message Bible, which is a translation. It's not something I preach from very often, but I like the way this guy words it. And look at this. It says, honor God with everything you own. Give Him the first and the best. This is why we teach the tithe. We teach the tithe not because we want you to give more money. We teach the tithe because we believe in giving God the first. We did a series last summer that talked about this, and we said, if someone paid you $100 with $10 bills, right? And they put $10 bills in your hand, which one is God's? It's the first one that they put in your hand. Does that make sense? Why? Because I want to make sure God gets my first and my best. First and my best. I want to give God my best worship. I want to give God my first worship. I want to give God the first of my money, but I want to give God the first of my heart. I want to give Him the first of everything, right? And the same is true when it comes to let's say your job. Sometimes we complain about our boss, but we show up 5 minutes late every day. We say, I don't understand why I don't ever get a raise, but you bad-mouthing people all the time. You show up late, you leave early. Well, don't come talk to me about why you can't get a raise when you're not giving them your first. I'm not giving my first effort, my first work ethic. We've got to make sure that we present the first. If we're going to put something first, then that makes it honorable. I want you to look at John chapter 3. I like this too. This isn't on my list of skills, but I think it is a skill, like a sub-skill, let's say. John chapter 3, they're talking to John the Baptist in this book. And so John the Baptist has a job. I'll let you guess what it is. He baptizes people. That's the name. So John has his job, and he dunks people in water for a living. But here's what happened. Jesus shows up, and this is really good. I shared this with core team this morning. This is really good for any of you at work. Here's the thing. The Bible says that when Jesus shows up on the scene, He is baptizing more people than John. Now, John's a professional baptizer. Jesus just showed up, and He's baptizing more than John. And then in parentheses it says, but it wasn't really Jesus doing any of the baptizing. It was really His disciples doing all the baptizing. Just a little free side note on leadership. Always build teams. Always build teams. Because 12 volunteers are outworking one professional. So just having one really talented person is not as good as having 12 semi-talented volunteers. Build teams. Build teams. That's free. You can bill me for that later. So John is showing up, and they're saying, hey, John, what do you think about this? Jesus is baptizing more people than you are. And John begins to say, you know what? This is the reason I'm here. The reason I'm here is so that he can be doing more than me. And I want you to look. It says this in verses 29 and 30. It says, therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. How do we honor people? We learn to be last. When I'm talking about making priorities, you put others first and you move yourself last. If you can learn to be last, then you can learn to honor people. You will develop a culture of honor. I try to teach my kids this all the time. I say, listen, consider others better than yourself. You're mad at your sister, you're mad at your brother, consider others better than yourself. How would they feel if they're in the situation, right? And we start working that out with them. And it's hard for people to put themselves last so that someone else can be first. But if you can ever master that skill, if you can ever master that skill, then tomorrow when you're in the taxi cab and the lady starts grumbling, right, then you'll be able to deliver the baby. So whenever you're faced with that obstacle, when you're faced with that boss, when you're faced with that coworker, when you're faced with that client, right, and it's a struggle there, if you learn to put yourself in a position of last, Jesus said this. He said, the last will be first anyway. Anybody that's willing to be last is always going to end up being first. So you get in the car, you're driving 10 hours, and your husband is sweaty, and you say, I'm cold, I don't want to turn on the air. What do? You put yourself last. Right? Grab a blanket, turn the air on. I'm just saying, I don't know who that's for today. Might be for anybody, I don't know. Sometimes these things just come to me. Learning to be last. And listen, I'm going to say this as we close. That is really probably the hardest and most important one of all of these. Because here's the thing. The Bible says that Jesus had everything. He had heaven. But he came to the earth, not in the form of a king, but in the form of a servant. The Bible says that Jesus looks around at his team, and he's got these 12 dudes, and he knows one of them's going to betray him. He knows one of them's going to deny him. He knows they're all going to run away from him. And the Bible says that he takes off his outer garment and grabs a towel and wraps a towel around himself, which is the sign of a servant, and he begins to get down and wash everybody's feet. Why did he do that? Because he's showing us something here. He's showing us that in order for you to be great in the kingdom of God, in order for you to really truly honor people, in order for you to ever be honorable, you've got to learn to put yourself last. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. These are the final instructions. So in all of these books, like whenever I'm reading some of these, like this one, How to Treat a Leg Fracture, it gives me these different skills that I have to know. But in the very end, it says, here are some important things to look for. Here are some things to avoid. Here are some things you got to make sure you're doing right. Okay? So it gives you kind of these final instructions before you have to face the test. So Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. I want to read through these with you today. If you're looking at your notes on the YouVersion app, on the Bible app, this is in there. But I want to kind of read through these one at a time with you. As these guys come up, they're going to start playing for us, and we're going to close out the service. And I would encourage you this week, if you're really struggling to honor somebody, I would encourage you to take this passage right here and just begin to pray it over yourself, read it every day, and just let this be your Bible reading for a little while until you can get it figured out. Verse 9, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Let love be genuine. Let it be true. Don't just put on the love face. Don't just put on a happy face. Man, let it come from your heart. And you may say, I don't know how to do that yet. That's okay. You work it out. You develop the skill. Verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. We said that one a few weeks ago. That's one of my favorite verses of this whole series that we've done. Outdo one another in showing honor. I love that. I love that because, like, when I said, hey, let's give Tim a hand and celebrate Tim, like, that was the moment. Like, if we were going to take this verse to heart, that would have been the cue for someone to stand up and clap, and then someone else would be like, ooh, I can do better than that. And like they stand in the chair and they're like chanting, right? And then someone else would be like, I can do better than that. And they run over to the kids there, they grab poster board, and they come over and they got Tim on a sign, and they're dancing across the stage, right? Why? Because it's all about let's outdo, and it's not in a competitive way. It's just in a way of, hey, how much more could we honor somebody? You will never go wrong honoring somebody more. That's never a wrong thing. Verse 11, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Verse 12, rejoice in hope. There's your party right there. Rejoice in hope. Did you know the word rejoice in the Bible means to jump and twirl around and dance? The Bible says that God rejoices over you. That means God jumps and spins and He loves to party and celebrate you. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. That's so important right there, to be patient in tribulation, because you're going to face a trial this week. You're going to face that moment where you can dishonor somebody, but be patient. Hold your tongue. Bless those who persecute you. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Verse 14, bless those that persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. In other words, make yourself last. Never be wise in your own eyes. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. We talked about that last week. The last two. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you heap burning coals on his head. I don't understand that part. It's bad, kind of. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What is Paul saying here? He's saying, look, man, honor people. Honor God. Live an honorable life, and it'll go well with you. Why don't you stand up with me this morning? Close your eyes with me this morning. Nobody looking around. We want to pray with you today. We're going to open up the front area. We've got some of our prayer team members, some of our elders, myself and my wife will be down here. And we just want to give you the opportunity this morning. If you need prayer for anything, we want to give you that opportunity before we leave. These guys will lead us in one more song and we want to give you the chance to pray. But here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to begin to ask the Holy Spirit in your own way. Just say, God, what is it that you're speaking to me today? Maybe there's an area of honor in your life that you're struggling with. Maybe you're struggling with this, even the whole idea of putting God first and making sure that He's in a place of honor. Can I tell you something? The most important relationship you can ever have is with Jesus Christ. And if you're not serving Him today, you need to serve Him. He is calling you. He wants to celebrate with you. He loves you. And He wants to spend eternity with you. As a matter of fact, the Bible even says that in eternity, in heaven, it is a party. It is a celebration. And He wants to spend it with you today. Your access to that is through relationship with Jesus Christ. Giving Him everything, putting Him in a place of honor where He's first and everything else is last. If you haven't made that decision today, we would love to pray with you. But I'm going to pray over you right now, and then we're going to sing, and as we sing, we're going to invite you down to the front. God, we just pray for everybody in this room, and I just ask for myself too. God, make us men and women of honor. Help us today to not only honor you, but to honor those around us, honor each other. Help us, God, to establish those priorities. Help us to praise with our words and not tear down. Help us to celebrate with people. And God, help us to protect the honor. Help us to protect the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.